Blog Talk Radio.
A man decides after seven years, that's what he goes there for, to unlock the door. Well, those around him created silently.
That's a really short one. I want to welcome everybody to Vibe Time tonight, and I want to welcome everybody to Facebook Live with me. So tonight I have Tabitha Roach, but before I unmute her, just a couple of announcements for all the paranormal events and everything that's going on. Please go to Virginia Paranormal Events page on Facebook, and that way you can keep track of everything that's going on. And also, make sure you go like my page if you haven't, Vibe Time with Jerry, so that way you can keep up with the different episodes I'm doing. I believe next week, John is going to be joining me, and we're going to have a paranormal talk. So anyway, without further ado, Tabitha is a paranormal investigator, but she's also been on the Travel Channel, and she represented Matthews at Old House Woods, along with Kimberly and Dennis Eslock. So she is my special guest tonight, so I'm going to take her off of mute and get her on.
Hello.
Are you there, Tabitha? How are you?
Yes. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Trying to make sure I multitask and get it all right and not mess up anything. So are you having a good time?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to go back. So.
Yeah.
It's beautiful out here.
It seems like that it would be nice where you're at. So.
Yeah, the mosquitoes aren't fun, though.
Oh, no, I bet they're not. And you've already picked up some. Are you doing paranormal research there, or just, like, seeing what you can get where you're at?
No, I mean, this was kind of like an impromptu trip, and we just decided to stay at this campground because we were going to the beach in Chincoteague. So we weren't planning on doing any investigating while we were here. Although we did, like, have some experiences, you know, it wasn't meant to be business at all.
Gotcha. Gotcha, but you did pick up some stuff where you're at.
Yeah, we last night, probably about 2 hours after our fire, our campfire burnout, I kept smelling like a putrid burning smell, and I thought there was maybe a fire somewhere else, but there wasn't. We're the only tent campers in the area. And it started to kind of make me feel sick, and I smelled it for like 20 minutes. And then I decided just to look into the history of Chincoteague, because I don't know any of it at all. I've never looked into it. And apparently there was a battle here during the Civil War, and three ships had come up. They were part of the Confederate Army. They came from Louisiana here to Chincoteague, actually right outside of, right by the water that we are on right now. And they burned the ship at night while the crew was sleeping. So there were three ships that were burned, and I had no idea. So I don't want to say that maybe that was you know, a sign or something. I just thought it was kind of a neat coincidence, you know. And it made me want to learn more about the history out here.
Right. I don't even think I've been to that area. I know people that have lived around that area, but I personally, I have not even been there. I mean, I might have driven past it.
And well, the wild ponies are beautiful. That's usually what people come for.
Oh, wow.
You know, they do the wild pony roundup.
Isn't that a once-a-year thing or something out there?
Yeah, they usually do it in the fall here. I've never been to it, but I know that that's why people come. And we actually saw the wild ponies yesterday.
Oh, that's cool. I hope you got pictures.
Yeah. I definitely got pictures, but I have no internet service, so I have to wait to upload everything.
Well, that's okay. It doesn't hurt to unplug for a little while anyway.
Oh, yeah. It's nice. You need to every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. Kimberly said running of the ponies. Yeah, we're on Facebook Live. You're on the audio part of it, and I'm on the actual live part of it, and then we have the audio in the back as far as the on the air also. So we have quite a few things going on. Yeah.
I wish I could watch the Facebook feed, but I can't. So if anyone has
questions,
I'll keep
track of it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will most certainly do that.
Thank you.
The only thing Kimberly has said so far is so cute. So how long have you been a paranormal investigator? I mean, what got you into doing that?
I was interested in the paranormal ever since I was a very little kid and lived in a haunted house. I was probably 3 or 4, and it just kind of always intrigued me. I guess I was always a little weird because I was into the paranormal more than like most things that girls my age were into. But I didn't actually start investigating professionally at all until like 2014, when I was part of a group in Indiana. And they kind of taught me, you know, everything that I know about investigating, you know, the basics and stuff like that. So they kind of became my first paranormal family.
And then did you move to Virginia and create Nevermore at that point?
Yeah, I moved to Virginia. I had investigated for probably 3 years, and then I moved to Virginia and started Nevermore on accident, really. It was, I became friends with the people who owned Edgewood Plantation, and they wanted to do events to kind of help fund repairs for the house. And I told them about the events that we had done in Indiana, you know, to raise money for the hotel there. So we started just doing events, and I thought it would be neat to kind of stretch out and do that at other places. And Nevermore also offered other types of events too. So I kind of went to the paranormal route with it because I had a lot of friends in the paranormal field, and I knew that people who investigated would love helping out, you know, with historic buildings like that to help preserve them. And kind of help get the public aware of it too, you know.
Right. Right. Because if it wasn't for that event that you held, I would have never thought to go there because I had driven past it, but never knew that, never really driven past it, but didn't know that it was open for events, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
You know, a lot of people didn't know that Edgewood was even there. You know, people who had lived in the county weren't really even aware of what Edgewood was until I started doing those events. So I think it kind of opened up a lot of curiosity with people who were in the area. And because of that, Edgewood, you know, was able to receive money for a lot of the repairs that, you know, just to keep the house maintained.
Right. Hello, Jody. Can I ask you, because I know that Nevermore is not anymore. That much I know. You know, I remember that switch off. I had always been curious where the name came from and how you came up with that, because I always thought it was a neat name.
Like I said, I was kind of a weird kid growing up, and I loved Edgar Allan Poe. I did. I mean, I have cats named, you know, Poe and Raven, and, you know, probably a little obsessive about it. So that's why I chose Nevermore, was just because I like the symbolism of the raven, and I really thought it was a cool name.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a cool name too. I just never asked you how you came up with it, because I just was like, I wonder how she came up with that name. You're always curious as to what names and, you know, people come up with, or how they come up with those particular names.
Yeah. It was going to be between, I couldn't find a cool enough Star Trek name to use, so I picked Nevermore.
Yeah, I like that, though. It's really cool. But as it stands right now, Nevermore is not, and so now everything is under crop. Do I have that right?
Yeah. So,
I just want to make sure I got my information right.
Nevermore, you know, it was a really great experience for me. I got to meet a lot of people, and I got to be involved with something that I love, but I also work a lot. So I really don't have the time to put into it, you know, that it deserves. And I've worked with Crop and with Dennis personally for a long time. Dennis has actually been with Nevermore for, since it was my second investigation. So he's been there through everything. And I really just, I knew I could trust Crop to basically do what I did with Nevermore, because they already knew it with so many locations. And, you know, everyone I think that is involved with Crop is awesome, you know. So I would have no issue with those people going into the places that I represented for a long time. And I know that they would keep the bar high and, you know, do a good job.
Right.
So,
but you're a part of Crop now too, right?
Yeah, because Dennis can't get rid of me that easily. So,
well, hopefully, maybe we'll have an Edgewood event or something, and then you'll come to that.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would love to come to as many events as I'm able to.
Right, because I know our next event is September 26th. Are you going to be able to make it to that?
I should be able to. As of now, the schedule at work, you know, we have it covered, so.
Okay. Yeah, because we missed you at the last one.
I know.
Yeah.
That was
it would have been fun to have you up in the bordello room.
Did you guys have a good turnout for that event?
We did have a good turnout for that event, and it was very, very active in all three locations pretty much. But I think we ended up investigating the upstairs cabin bordello room for a couple hours. Only because so much stuff happened there.
That's really cool. I can't wait to like hear some of the EVPs and stuff like that. So
Yeah. I haven't, you know, but it's really sad to say I haven't even finished reviewing those EVPs from Matt. They're so backed up. And I'm sure you get the same thing. Please don't tell me I'm alone in this.
You can you can record and then you have to like listen to it for 10 times the hours that you're actually recording.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not the only one that's backed up in this stuff.
Oh no, it takes me a very long time to review evidence. Because we have normal, we have regular lives and responsibilities and all that not fun grown-up stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's quite a bit. I still got recordings from last time Kimberly and I went to Old House Woods that I haven't had a chance to listen to, on top of the Kavanaugh 360 stuff, that it's just several hours of body cam and recording there too.
Yeah, Kim said that you guys got a lot of evidence from Old House Woods.
We do. We've got quite a bit. And I still want to go back out there and test some theories. It's just that we haven't been able to get out there to test the theory. So hopefully maybe sometime this week we might be able to. I have to look up my schedule if Kimberly's schedule is open, because I'm not sure.
Yeah, Old House Winds is an interesting place.
It is. It's still, I don't know, I've been going there for years. I mean, as far as to the beach and things like that. But just now really starting to get into the research part of that area. But I know you've been there quite a bit.
Yeah, I've done quite a few things. And, Dennis was my investigator through every event. He was the lead investigator. And he got some really cool EVPs. You would always get a response when you mentioned treasure. Always. I believe he has an EVP where he was asking where the treasure was buried. And the whisper of "that's mine" was right up next to the recorder. And you could hear the distance between their voices farther away. So the response was so close that nobody was even close at all to the recorder. Everyone was probably about 10 feet back. So I think that's like the most interesting EVP that we've gotten there. And we've also seen, although it's not uncommon in Matthew's film, we've seen wet footprints going from either side of the road, from the turnoff right before you go to the beach. And what's interesting about that is when we do all of our investigations, there's nobody back, and the area is marsh. So for somebody to be just walking around there, is not smart and it's not safe, so the chance of someone doing that is very low.
Right.
And those wet footprints have appeared at every investigation going from the same spot in the same direction, which is also interesting, because unless there's somebody who does that every time we've done a public investigation, there's just really no explanation for it.
That's wild, because, the place there is like gravel. You know what I mean? It's graveled in. Excuse me. So that's pretty wild with wet footprints.
Yeah, so they would have to be very wet, for you to see the mark on the ground. But, yeah, it's just a neat place. We went there with Don Wildman and did something for the Travel Channel. And the best part of that was Don Wildman's first ghost hunt that he's ever done. And we actually got a response. Dennis had a piece of equipment out there that lit up pretty much as soon as he asked it to light up if there was something there with us. But it did it slowly. And I feel like the spirits in Old House Woods are 100% aware of the people that come around there. and investigate and research and, you know, the people that just come down there and mess around, you know.
Right. Right. That's the theory. That's one of the theories that I'm testing out there, because I've posted several times that I have a particular spirit there that calls me by, that he knows me by my name and calls me Blondie.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I believe everything out there is intelligent.
That's really cool. He is, because I have him, I think, either on two or three different EVPs at, I think it was either two or three different times that I have him saying that in two different locations, and it's the same voice and the same person. I mean, you can tell the same voice. It's not different.
Yeah. Well, I also believe that certain people, some people are more sensitive than others, and everybody gives off an energy. A lot of people describe it as auras and stuff like that, but everyone gives off some sort of energy, and people who are more open, or your empaths or your, psychics and, people with different abilities give off a stronger energy, and that attracts, a lot of the spirit activity anywhere. But especially in Old House Wood, could really explain, the directness of the EVPs you're getting, because you put off a very high energy.
Right.
So, they're easily, whatever's trying to communicate with you is easily drawn to you. Someone else may not experience the same spirit interaction from that particular spirit. You know what I mean?
Right. No,
not get the same response, or may not even be able to contact that same spirit.
I know what you mean. I was gonna wear a wig out the next time I went. I'm just waiting for it to come in.
that would be really interesting, because I think my theory would be, wear a wig, he's still going to know that it's you.
That's mine too.
I
want to
see pictures of the wig.
I know, I'm trying to decide. I have the black and white one, and then I have a red and pink one coming in, but that's like, that's like the wig. And then I have $2 store ones that I bought.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you should definitely do the red one.
Yeah, I'm wigging out. I am wigging out. And then my friend is like, let's go to the wig store. We can go there together. And I'm like, girl, let's go get some hair.
Oh, my God.
So me and my girlfriend, Charlene, have to go to the wig shop. We're just trying to figure out which wig store we want to go to. It's all in good fun.
Oh, yeah. It's all for research.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's all for research purposes. So I got a feeling if I wore the black and white Cruella de Vil one, he would still pick up who I am based on my energy and my voice.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely think so, too. So I'm really interested to see how that experiment goes.
Yeah. Yeah, when we can get back out there. Kimberly said we had known this, but technology has come so far. I'm watching y'all prove and improve what I already experienced. She just didn't experience Dave and Blondie yet. She has not had the experience of a spirit boyfriend.
That's so sad. Everyone should have the experience of a spirit boyfriend.
I know. They should all know by name. I just think it's really cool, that it's happened like that, because I wasn't expecting it. So,
The kids are camping with me.
Aww.
It might be a little loud sometimes.
You're good. I told you earlier I would take the homework at this point over the camping with kids.
Yes.
So.
It's definitely been interesting sleeping in one tent with a baby bored easily.
Aww.
It's been interesting, yeah. But we love it. You know, it's our favorite thing.
Yeah. We like, I like camping, but I normally pop my tent up in my yard.
We do that like too when we're not able to get away.
Yeah. We'll pop it up in the yard when it cools off. She's so funny. She said, no, but I know there is a spirit there that loves to mock. Listen, in your experience in Old House Woods and the EVPs that you've gotten, have you gotten as much cussing as we've gotten on ours? Because they have potty mouths.
I have heard probably a handful of people. But then again, they were from Dennis. Dennis was leading groups. And, you know, we know that a lot of spirits don't really enjoy interacting with him sometimes and call him names. So a lot of the time we do get those EVPs, but they are directed at him. So.
Yeah.
I love him to death, and he knows he does it, and he loves it too. So those are the only ones that we've really gotten. I have never had anything directed towards me, but I've also never investigated it really by myself. And even when I was doing it with Dennis, I would just help lead the group. I wasn't necessarily investigating. So I do wonder if I would go down there, you know, with you guys or even by myself, if I would get responses like that.
Yeah, you should come with us when we go.
I know I can never find a babysitter.
I know. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't miss that at all. Mine are 11
Dad
and 15.
Dad has like
so 10
more years and he can babysit.
Yeah, that's Kimberly said that's why I want you to come with me. So you'll have to find a sitter.
Fine. It's hard during the coronavirus era to find a sitter.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right. She said you got Joe. He can babysit.
He would be sad if I didn't bring him.
Tell him a couple hours wouldn't hurt him. He'd be all right. You could, like, meet us out there, investigate with us for, like, an hour or so, and then ditch us and go home.
Yeah, I have Mondays and Tuesdays off, so those are good days for me.
Yeah.
If I'm not escaping, because I do plan my escape trips pretty randomly.
Yeah, I do too. And we sometimes plan our Old House Wood stuff very randomly too.
Yeah. I am a spur of the moment person, but I'm also a schedule person, so it's weird.
Yeah. She put, you have never really investigated Old House Woods. Me? I'm trying to figure out. Is it me? No, Kimberly put, you have never really investigated Old House Woods.
No. I have never really gone out and investigated Old House Woods. I've only helped lead groups with Dennis.
Okay.
Like he's investigated.
Yeah. She said you're always working.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yep.
We'll forgive you. But don't worry, my schedule right now is 8 to 2, and I can't switch it at the moment until I get my paperwork down pegged, because I want to switch it over to Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays And I just, right now with me not understanding some of this paperwork, I can't. So I'm in the same boat, too. I have to get up at 0:30 to get to work at 8 o'clock. So.
Yeah, I usually work like 12 to 8. So, you know, I do get to sleep in a little.
But, yeah, those are some long hours,
much,
though. God.
Yeah, and I have a lot of responsibilities, so I try to make sure I take care of all that first before I play.
Unless
this weekend I just threw out all my responsibilities and we came here.
Well, yeah, sometimes you have to do that, too.
Yeah. I say this weekend, but my weekends are Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah, and mine right now are the regular Saturdays and Sundays. So my good days are like Fridays and Saturdays. It used to be any time during the week, but it's not at this point. Even if I get Tuesday off, like I start being off on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I still have to get up at 0:30 the next day at 5:30.
Really, you know, when you have to work and stuff all the time and you're the provider, it's really difficult to spend time on any hobby, you know, no matter how much you enjoy doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you're right. But Kimberly said you just need to take a break. Sometimes that's hard to do.
I know. I love you, Kim.
Aww.
I love you. I'm taking a break right now.
Yeah, she is taking a break right now. So what equipment have you used with your investigations? Like, what's your favorite piece of equipment?
Let's see. I think my favorite piece of equipment is kind of a very old school piece of equipment. I do like EMF detectors, and I think that they are pretty hard to fake. I really honestly don't like a lot of new equipment because I feel like a lot of it is built to ghost hunt. And so I don't trust it, kind of. I like the old type recorders, you know, not really the digital recorders. And I've also done flashlight sessions a lot. I guess I'm a little more old school when it comes to investigating, because that's the way that my team in Indiana did things. But yeah, I would just go EMF detector all day long.
Yeah, I like those too. I mean, I've done the flashlight sessions, and the only thing sometimes with the flashlight sessions is, like, you know how you'll ask a spirit to cut the flashlight on, and then, you know, they'll cut it on, and then when you ask them to cut it off, sometimes the flashlight don't cut off. It just, like, stays on.
Yeah, so when I do a flashlight session, I'm very strict about the response time. And, you know, if I think that if it's not an immediate response, or at least within, you know, 5 seconds, I don't count it. And that could make me, you know, a lot of people think that I lose a lot in doing that. Can't ever be too, you know, particular in what you're looking for, especially when you're ghost hunting, because there are so many things that can influence your equipment, whether it's a flashlight or, you know, an EMF detector or anything, really can be influenced by a lot of different things. So the best flashlight session that I've ever seen, I actually saw John Harris do at Edgewood. And you probably know John because mm-hmm. he has worked with Dennis before. He had set up 3 flashlights in the dining room at Edgewood. And, you know, if the response was yes, he wanted the lights on. So I do know that first he asked that if there was anyone in there with us to please turn the flashlight that was on the dresser on. And he would say exactly which flashlight he wanted on. And that flashlight went on. And then he said, okay, well, I still don't believe you. I'll need you to turn the other 2 on as well. And as soon as he said that, the other 2 came on. And then he asked them politely to please turn all the flashlights off. And all at once, as soon as he asked that, they all went off. And to me, that is a 100% paranormal activity with, you know, flashlights. And you can tell that the responses you're getting are by something intelligent because how they're responding, you know, with turning the lights on so quickly and then off, almost in the snap of a finger. So
right.
seeing it work like that so well, I know that it can work. And as long as you're using the right type of flashlight, because obviously you can't use the ones with the buttons and, you know, stuff like that, because it's all based on the connection to the battery. So the mag lights are the only ones that I use for that. And you can
okay.
use guys, as long as it's just the twist turn on and off mag lights. And you want to set it, like a lot of people set it, to where if they shake it, the light will come on. But you really want it to be off completely, even if you shake it, because you don't want the wind or anything to influence it.
Right, yeah, I have questions about a flashlight session, so I'm glad that we're talking about that, because it, honestly, flashlight sessions have made me have some doubt. And the reason why is because, you know, when I've been on investigations with other people, the flashlight has cut on, and then when they ask it to turn it off, it doesn't turn it off. And it just, it makes me question that. Now, when I
yeah.
went to, when we were in that bordello room here recently, John Sullivan was with us, and he was very specific with his cards and his flashlight. And now I do have that on camera, those flashlight sessions. And those, you know, you knew, you know, like you said, they would cut it on, and then when you asked them to cut it off, they would right away.
Yeah. There is a
you know,
specific way that flashlight sessions have to be done. And I've noticed in a lot of investigations, especially when you're doing public investigations and you are letting your guests kind of join in, it's very important that everyone understands the concept of the flashlight session. You're going to ask a question, and you need a response. If you are the speaker, nobody else should be butting in. A lot of times, you know, I would ask a question, is there anyone in the room with us? And then 10 seconds later, are you a man or a woman? You know, you really, I believe with the flashlight session, you should have one speaker. And if that person is done asking questions, somebody else can go after that. But you really shouldn't have too many different questions coming out. You should never have questions that are not a yes or no response. And flashlight sessions can be good if they're done right. And I think the way he did it, you know, how you're explaining, when you're strict about your response time, it makes it more valuable evidence, you know.
So how much of a response do you get?
For me, a response time should be within 5 seconds. I don't
okay.
want to wait. A flashlight session, just like any piece of equipment, may not work in certain areas. You know, you may have a spirit that doesn't want to interact with it. And I'm not going to, you know, I won't keep trying a flashlight session over and over if I'm not getting the correct responses.
Gotcha.
So at least I know with the flashlights that I have, I have two of them that just, one came from Ghost Stop, I think. And then the other one is a mag light. I kind of stole that one. But I was like, this is perfect. I stole it from downstairs. I was like, this is a really nice mag light flashlight. This is perfect for me to do investigations with or when I'm doing my research with. And so I just kind of stole that one right off the dresser. I was like, I'm taking this one. I didn't even know it was down there. Then come to find out my husband found it himself. And I'm like, well, then you ain't going to miss this one. So I kind of took it.
Well, it's good. You can use it. So.
Yeah, I'll be using that one, and then I have one more. But I'm really glad that you clarified some of that stuff for me because I was really, you know, when people break out a flashlight, I'm like, here we go. That's only because of the last couple of experiences that I've had, you know, not the last one when John Sullivan was there, not him, because he did it right. I mean, he put the flashlight down. One had, you know, one note card had woman on it, and then he put a second flashlight down that had a man on it because we were doing questions that way.
Mm-hmm.
So he did it right, but the other ones that I've been on, I've just really been in question with when somebody has to. I've never understood why somebody has to reset their flashlight constantly.
I think a lot of people are interested by flashlight sessions, and there is a very specific way to do them, and I don't think a lot of people do it that way. But, you know, that really is just affecting their data, and that's why I am very skeptical of a lot of things I hear about flashlight sessions also. Because I'm kind of the type of person, if I don't see it going on, I'm not going to believe how everything went down.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it could be a really valuable way to investigate if it's done right.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to see you on the 26th or at least at one of these investigations and, you know, maybe you can, like, kind of demonstrate to me how you do that so that way I know, so I can learn off of somebody that's doing it the right way. Does that make sense? And not,
yeah,
you know, because I have things that I have to learn, too. I mean, you know, I've only been investigating places like, you know, different plantations and cemeteries and stuff like that since November. I have not done... because I'm used to going on my own. So I've went to places like Yorktown, Duke of Gloucester Street, you know, places like that on my own because I was pretty much doing readings. I wasn't really investigating. I was doing readings on the energies that I felt there.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't get big into, you know, the investigating part of anything until November because I always used me as my own equipment. Pretty much. So I have a lot to learn.
Yeah, I'm excited to work with you and like everyone really with Crop. We'll work with them again, you know.
Yeah.
And I would definitely show you how to do a flashlight session. I'm very old school with my investigating techniques. I don't really like anything new. So
yeah.
You know, hacking the AM radio.
That. Yeah, I've got that. I do have that. I have a periscope. I liked Genesis, so I bought me one.
Yeah, so periscopes are neat. Anything that really lights up is is very neat, and it's also good to have when you are someone who does public investigations, because the people want to see something, you know, and a lot of people think that they're going to see a ghost, and we know that that's not how that always works, you know. So for them to have some sort of visual proof is really good for public investigations.
Yeah, yeah. I like Dennis's so much. I was like, where did you get that? And he told me where he got it. And so I was like, well, I want to get me one of those too, because I like yours. So, and then I ended up getting the Spirit Box, the SB7 box, because I just liked it.
Yeah,
you
Spirit
know,
Boxes
I
are pretty cool too. But they're they are hard for me to kind of tune into.
Yeah. I always, you know, on my SB7 box that I use, I always tune into the AM because it doesn't pick up like it does on FM. Like, you know, like if I tune it into FM radio, it'll pick up a lot of FM talk, whereas AM does not really do that at all. So that's why I don't even tune into FM when I'm doing my SB7 box.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I had to learn that too, the hard way. Because I don't want no radio tune-ins, but with the AM, you're not going to get that really out in the woods at all.
Yeah, you really don't. You know, an AM is always the best station to use when you're using any sort of ghost box.
Yeah. And I mean, Kimberly and I use the Necrophonic app, but we've used that app quite a bit, and that one's been pretty accurate too. I've gotten full sentences that you wouldn't get off of that. So that's been pretty wild.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
I think, you know, I've heard things like that, and people are getting full sentences, and I do think that that's really cool. Sometimes I just wonder, you know, if people hear different things. I listen to EVP.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times you hear an EVP and it's done another way, but then the second person, you tell them what you think it says, everyone will hear it that way. Who knows?
Right.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is true.
And I wonder if people's perceptions of what they're doing, if it kind of alters what they think they're hearing in the EVP.
I agree with you with that sometimes, because everybody perceives everything differently. You know, somebody will say, I had somebody send me something the other day, and I wasn't seeing what they were seeing in their footage that they were sending me. I didn't know what it was that they were seeing, and I didn't even ask them what they thought they were seeing, because I didn't want them to contaminate anything, you know, to make me go and look. But it was very, very hard to review the stuff that I reviewed, because I'm like, I'm just not seeing what you're seeing.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of reading when I was younger. I would do, when I lived in Indiana and I was part of the other team, I did a show with Terra X Radio on haunted items, because I would collect haunted dolls. And a lot of times I would keep blogs on these dolls so people could follow the ones that I had, and I would talk about them on the show. And it's so funny when different people would, you know, get these dolls from me, they would all have very different experiences. And I believe that sometimes it's even, you know, the doll itself. Like, do they have the doll and think it's creepy, or do they think it's cute? And those people will have experiences based on how they perceive the object that they think is haunted. You know, right. my, you know, it's like kids see these dolls and they're scary to them, you know, because they're old and they're cracked and they look creepy. But you and I would look at these dolls and think that they're awesome and adorable, and even though they're cracked and creepy looking, we could perceive the energy off that doll differently, you know, than them.
Yeah, that's true, because yesterday I have a creepy doll here, and yesterday I told my mom, I was like, why don't you take a picture with the doll, my favorite doll, because she came into my room, and she goes, oh, you dressed her up? I said, no, she's still in her potato sack. You know, I just put a scarf around her, and she was like, I don't want to take a picture with that creepy doll. I was like, oh, but it's your favorite doll. Just take a picture. So she ended up taking a picture with it. And everybody in my house hates the doll. But I love the doll. I mean, you know, originally when I got her, she had an energy to her. You know, it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of a, but once I saged her and, you know, smudged her and, you know, told her this was her new home, as weird as that sounds, that energy, you know, I had to say, I'm going to take care of her and I will keep her in her potato
sack. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that doesn't sound weird. I used to say that to everything I would bring in that had an energy attached to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, this is your new home. You know, you're going to be very well taken care of. You're not going to lose your potato sack, because the guy that owned, the guy that had this particular doll at his antique shop promised the guy that originally owned the doll that he would not take the potato sack off of the doll, because her clothes, her dress is actually made out of a Purina potato sack. It's like a Purina, not, I keep saying potato sack. That's wrong. A Purina sack, because that's all they had back then for doll clothes. That's the only thing I guess they could afford or something at that time. So she's still in her original sack. You know, I don't want to take off because I made a promise.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and I don't come to you. Spirits that come to you that are attached to objects are not like spirits that are like in a house where they are always in the same place. You know, these spirits are misplaced a lot and move around, and they're in different, you know, different spots. And you have to kind of, you have to tell them that they're welcome and this is their home now. So the spirit is like at ease being there. I actually had a doll in Arizona that came from a fire in Indiana, actually in a town that I eventually moved 10 minutes from Indiana. But this doll had two spirits attached to it. It was a mother and a daughter. And I had, when I brought it to, and I eventually ended up moving. And when I moved, I didn't pack that doll away. I put it right on the windshield of my van, you know, on the inside, so it could kind of ride with me. And during that trip, after about an hour on the interstate, I had a blowout, and two of my tires blew out. But we really couldn't find the reason why they blew out, and it was a brand new van. We ended up in Flagstaff, Arizona, and somebody backed into the car. And ironically, the camera did not catch anything, even though the camera was right there on my van. And then as I'm traveling to Indiana, because that's where we moved, there was a crack in my windshield right from where the doll was sitting. And by the time we got to Indiana, it went all the way across. But the crack did not come from the outside. It was in between the glass. So based on everything like that happened, I feel like when I went to move, the two spirits, since I had invited them into my home and told them that the home was theirs now, that there was one that was still at the house when we left, and there was one that remained attached to the doll. So I think that that's why so many things went wrong, thing that we would go back. You know what I mean?
Right. That makes sense.
I love that doll. She was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, the one that, the doll, when I got this particular doll, it was two sisters that played with the doll when they were little, and one of the sisters died. So, with me being able to pick up energy and being able to pick up spirit, I know that she, you know, had an attachment to that doll, and one side told her that the doll was going to be taken care of, and she was smudged. Then it was like that particular energy, like, cleared up and went away. So
yeah,
it was pretty interesting.
That is really interesting. I think my biggest interest when it comes to the paranormal field is haunted items. And objects that have things attached to them. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a doll, you know, it could be anything. And a lot of my personal research that I've done has not really been on locations, but it's been on particular objects that people think have things attached to them.
Right. That's true. I mean, I like stuff like that, too. I went to a house one time, and there was definitely an attachment to a lamp. You know, so it's not just necessarily dolls. And I've went into houses where people have not smudged anything, and they just kind of brought the antique in there or brought the item in there without smudging it or cleansing it. And, you know, then they had all kinds of weird things happen. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had that. And then I just tell people to, like, when I have stuff, I just leave it outside for a while. I don't bring it in my house right away. I leave it outside and sit. And I smudge it and bring it in.
Yeah.
You know, because we've even brought, objects, like one time buying a couch set, as soon as we brought it right in the house right away, and it was a used couch set that we had bought, and as soon as my husband like put it down on the floor to move it, a spirit jumped right off of it. It was a child, and I could see it, and I saw it ran too. And so I was like, so
yeah, I should I think everyone should do that. Like sage, anything you bring into your house. But,
yeah.
You know, I really am bad about that, too. A lot of times I don't. I just bring it in. And I have so many things that people give me that I just randomly bring in.
Yeah.
And every now and then I can tell when the energy is very off in my house. And I immediately think about, you know, well, what did I just bring into my house? Like, I think of all the items, you know, to figure out if that's where the energy is coming from.
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty interesting that, you know, stuff attaches to things like that. I think it is.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. You know, because at some point that item that maybe must have actually meant something, you know, to the spirit that's attached. And,
yeah,
you know, there is... Enough, you know, people get things confused, too, with spirit attachment. I see a lot of dolls going up for sale on eBay and stuff that are vessel dolls. They are not, there's a spirit attached, but it is not willingly attached. It's put into this vessel. And that's something that I don't really, like, get into, you know.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people don't know the difference between the two. And I see a lot of those dolls. You know, I'm an avid eBayer, so I see a lot of vessel dolls actually being sold on eBay now, which is kind of a little scary because you don't know what you're getting, you know.
Right. That's why when I got this particular doll, I was in a store. I was in an antique store, and it just caught my eye out of the other dolls that was sitting there. That particular one was like, hey, I'm going home with you. It was like, it, you know,
yeah.
I knew I was going to get home.
That is the best way to purchase something like that.
Yeah, because I just went. He had like four dolls, and the first day I didn't take it home, but I was really drawn to it, and I knew that there was something attached to it also. I knew that there was a girl that was attached to it at that time, and I didn't say too much about it. And then I ended up calling them and, you know, described the doll, and I was like, can I please come back and purchase it? And so he ended up holding it for me, and I ended up purchasing it. Because, you know, I want to get one of those, I can't think of the dolls right now, but they look very realistic and they are scary looking. I'll have to send you a picture of what I want. It's like a vampire doll, but they're real. They look so real, and when you move, their eyes move with you.
That sounds cool. If I had anything like that in my house, my kids would never go to sleep.
Yeah, but I think it's a really cool doll. Me and Victor watched a video. I'll send it to you off of YouTube, what him and I watched. I'll make him go look it back up, and I'll send it to you, and then you'll be like, oh, this is really cool, because wherever you go, its eyes go everywhere where you go. It's really cool, but it's so realistic looking.
Yeah, you'll have to send me a picture of that, because I really love dolls in general. It's so funny because I used to be a huge tomboy, and I still kind of am more of a tomboy than a girly girl, but I do love dolls now. You know, I collect them, and I used to collect Hot Wheels, but...
Yeah, now it's dolls. I'll have to keep that in mind when I do my when I go to these different little, like, antique places and I see some of the dolls, because, you know...
Yeah, and that's always how I buy something, too. I like to walk around, like, thrift stores and antique stores and even yard sales and just kind of feel, like, if I feel something... coming from any object, I usually will buy it. And it doesn't happen often. You know, it's very rare that happens, even probably a year ago. And it was like, it's a radio from the 70s. And I love this radio. I mean, it's horrible. It doesn't really pick up many stations at all. But, you know, I feel something. There is definitely an energy, like, attached to the radio. And it's not anything negative, you know, it's very calm. It's just, you know, I felt like it needed to be home with me so it didn't go somewhere else bad.
Right.
And it sounds silly because, you know, in reality it is just the radio. But.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like when, you know, just like with the doll, I knew it was going to come out. I didn't know when.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew that there was something attached to it, you know, right away. I even told the owner, I was like, there's an attachment. And he goes, well, it's funny that you're saying that because one of the sisters died and they played with that doll all the time. They had to share it. So.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's so cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
It is cool.
Yeah, Now, my other doll that I have is out in my she shed because... like, nobody likes that doll, even though it was my doll growing up. She shed. Nobody likes the doll. She's sitting on a shelf, and the outfit she has on was one of my baby outfits. My mom was like, here, take your damn doll. But nobody likes her because she's almost bald.
Aww.
Yep.
You'll
She's
have
like,
to buy her a wig, too.
Yeah, I know, right? Along with all the other wigs I got coming in. It's going to be exciting. So, but yeah, nobody likes her either. Actually, she's prettier than the creep doll I have.
I would love to meet your dolls.
Okay. Yeah, you'll have to see my two dolls, but we're pretty much out of time on my show.
Okay.
But
it was super fun talking to you.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on your, you know, taking your time out of your schedule to come on Vibe Time with Jerry. I mean, you know, I'd love to have you back on my show.
Okay, well, I would love to be on your show again and work with you.
Yeah, I would appreciate that, because if I want to do stuff, you know, I want to make sure I'm doing it right. I don't want, and I would love to know some of your old school tactics too, because, you know, like I said, some of this stuff is fairly new, because when I go to places, I just, you know, read places and do the energy part. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would love to know some of the stuff just so that I know I'm doing things right when I do them.
Yeah. Well, everyone has, you know, their own way of doing things. And I think combined, all of those ways, you know, are definitely good, you know, to further paranormal research in general.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I love to hear other people's tactics, and or not tactics, but how they do their research, even if it is an old school way, you know, because sometimes old school ways are a lot better. So, I don't mind at all.
Well, we'll definitely get together soon and, you know, hopefully investigate together.
Okay.
If you're ever in Matthews, you can look me up. If you ever want to come to the vineyard, I'll give you wine.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I know. I do have to make my way out to where you're at. First of all, I've never been out there. And the other thing is that, you know, I just want to see that for myself. It's just that by the time I get off of work, it's just bam, bam, bam. You got to get everything done.
Yeah.
And I'm not used to that. I go straight in from coming home to cooking, from cooking to making sure, you know, homework and all this other stuff is done.
Oh yeah, I completely understand.
There's no break. Yeah, there's no break there. There's like none until I go to bed. Until I go to bed, that's the break. So,
yeah.
Kimberly says that she loves you.
Okay, I love you too, Kim.
So, she says.
I hope everyone has an awesome night.
Yeah, so I hope you do too, and thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. It was not a problem.
All righty. Well, I hope that you have a good rest of your night.
Oh, I am. We're just split the camera.
Okay.
It's gonna be a fun night.
In touch with you.
Okay. You guys have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.